Okay, so I'll actually do a little bit of lecture as to what we'll do today. So what we're going to do is we're going to do what I call mentalizing the modes. So let me just go over some concepts that'll be helpful. So I'll be drawing from also from coherence therapy and schema therapy and the guided meditation. So a couple ideas to keep in mind is in schema therapy, the idea is that we have our schemas. So these are these kind of like negative kind of beliefs about life, predictions, memories. And that they cause our modes and our coping. Yeah, our coping modes are how we emotionally regulate out of our schemas, but in a dysfunctional way. And the primary categories for the coping modes are surrender, or like kind of self-subjugation, avoidance, or overcompensation. Basically, that's it. So just keep in mind, schema and belief mean the same thing, and mode and symptom kind of also mean the same thing. Also, in this meditation, I'll reinforce some of the core metacognitive skills of like first taking interest in our mental states, then also noticing actually what's happening, like naming what's happening. That's the identification skill of metacognition. Then differentiation, noticing that this is just experience, this is just a mental state, etc. Relating variables, we'll see how one thing causes the other. We'll also kind of create a narrative that helps us understand our own kind of psychology. And that's the integration function. Also, we'll work on the decentration function of seeing how, like, this is just conditioning. This is not necessarily me. This is not deeply about me. And then, of course, we'll work on the mastery function. We'll work on, of course, bringing about emotional regulation. Also, memory reconsolidation, which I think, in a certain sense, is like the top level form of mastery in terms of metacognition. We'll also work on compassion towards self, also compassion towards others, equanimity. We'll also work on, towards the end, we'll work on making a plan and executing the plan, seeing how these positive effects of the meditation will impact our lives going forward. Okay, so let's go ahead and get started with the meditation. So sitting up straight, pushing the crown of the head up towards the ceiling. And starting to settle in. Taking a few deep breaths. Okay. And now we'll do a body scan. So notice your feet, legs, and hips. Now notice the abdomen rise and fall. chest, expand and contract. Shoulders and upper back. The hands and the arms. The head, neck, and face. And now take a deep, deep breath and feel the whole body all at once. Now exhale, having the whole body settle all at once. Okay, good. So now bring to mind some sort of symptom that comes up in your daily life. Some sort of pattern of yours that you don't like, that causes you suffering. Then you can even write it down if you like. That can be helpful. Now, it might be useful to categorize this in terms of surrender, avoidance, or overcompensation. And it's also fine if it doesn't fit into one of those categories. Okay, good. So now bring up the scene in your mind and let yourself occupy the space. Really mentally occupy. Let's come into the emotions of it. Now notice what this mode feels like in the body, or this symptom or mode. Is it expansive or contracted? Also notice that this mode has a certain mental signature. Like when you get into this mode, it feels a certain way in the mind. Describe that to yourself. Notice that. Also, notice how being in this mode brings about other mental states, other related symptoms, kind of mental postures, certain beliefs. And now go ahead and notice how there are certain beliefs about self, other, and world that drive this mode. So ask yourself, when I'm fully kind of engaged in this mode or the symptom, what are the beliefs about self? Again, these are the emotional beliefs, and it's just a part of you that has them. It's not the entirety of you. Here you're finding the belief or finding the schema. And now notice how it's like, when I'm believing this about myself, other, and the world, this symptom, this mode seems either necessary or just an unintended consequence. But here, see the symptom coherence. Symptom coheres with the belief. And it's totally logical from a certain perspective. Go ahead and study that now. Yeah, this makes perfect sense. Also, some upset, some grief might come up in seeing all of this. If that's the case, you can have the perfect nurturers there, soothing you, comforting you, giving a sense of understanding. Keep studying that. So now let's keep going with understanding the mode. So we kind of found the belief that underlies the mode or the symptom. But now let's keep studying the mode. So this mode of yours, by falling into it, by indulging it, there are all these effects on your social life, your work life, your personal explorations, and also your intra-psychic life, your like internal life. So let's just study those one by one. Let's first start with a work life. Does this symptom or mode manifest a certain way in your work life? And just see this clearly. Have an attitude of interest and curiosity. We're doing like self-anthropology here. Okay. And now let's move on to your social life. What effects do these modes, symptoms, and these schemas or beliefs have on your social life? Go ahead and investigate that now. Keep studying this with interest and feel free to have the perfect nurturers there comforting you, encouraging you. You're doing really good work. You're doing study of your own minds. Very good. Okay. Let's now move on to your intra-person, like your internal life, your intra-psychic life. When you get into these, when the schema fires off and these symptoms manifest, there's a certain way that you are internally. Go ahead and study that now. See that now. Is there a lot of thought spinning? Is there like a depression? What other coping modes or what other symptoms arise that help you deal with this? And just notice all of this with interest. Good. And now let's move on to your personal explorations. What kind of impact do these beliefs and symptoms have on your personal explorations? That's right. Keep going. Keep studying this. That's right. And now again, we want to really be fair-minded about our modes, about our symptoms. And now list out the benefits of your symptom or your mode. And don't worry, you're not going to convince yourself to hold on to it, but you'll just understand it better and you'll, by understanding it better, then when you go to release it and let it go, you'll kind of know what you're doing. You'll have more of like a informed consent. So what are the benefits of your mode, your symptom? See if you can list at least three benefits. Okay. And now, so imagine this symptom as a separate part of yourself. And now imagine your healthy adult self, and have your healthy adult self come for self comfort and reassure this part that your healthy adult part's in control, and that the healthy adult part will take care of things. Now, what's some well-reasoned advice that your healthy adult part gives to this part? What does this part need to hear? Also, what does this part need to say back to the healthy adult part? Go ahead and develop that now. Should your healthy adult part come up with a plan to help you work through this? Keep developing the scene. And now, have this part stay out. Like, have this part be seen and known by any other parts of yourself. So here again, we're thinking of the symptom as a part. And have all your other parts know that this part is okay. That what drives this part is totally understandable. And that this part won't have to go into hiding ever again. Okay, good. Now, bring up the symptom once again. Re-experience it. And now, what are the beliefs that drive this symptom, that create this symptom? You identified them before, but we're just bringing them up again. Here, you might be able, if you are not clear, you can just ask yourself, how do I view myself? How do I view the world? And how do I view others? When you're kind of acting out this symptom, and likely that will help you find the belief. Go ahead and do that now. this belief or sets of belief. You learned this somewhere. Now, float back in time and find a time when you learned this lesson about life, when this was reinforced. So this can be a real memory or a composite memory. It doesn't have to be totally real. It can be from childhood, adolescence, or adulthood. Take a minute to find the scene. That's right. Now see the scene. Where are you? Who are you with? How old are you? And what does this feel like? It likely feels pretty bad. Really get a sense of what this is like for you. Also see the pressure that was on you to learn this lesson, to learn this belief about life, about self, other, and world. See how you needed to learn this crappy lesson. That was what was on offer at the time. And just keep studying this. How is it that you learned this? See how it really colored your lens, your view on life. Also see how there's a direct link between your learning then and your behavior now. It all makes sense. Also see how you don't need to blame yourself for having learned this or having even acted it out in the way that you acted out in your adult life currently. Just all makes sense. There's nothing weirder about this or nothing weird about you. Okay, and now have the perfect nurturers come into the scene. And they can take a corrective action. If someone's treated you poorly, they can confront that person or those people. Or they can just go straight into soothing you and comforting you. So do one of those two now. So either be comforted and soothed or have the perfect nurturers protect you, stand up for you, and confront the people that treated you poorly. That's right, keep going. Shape and reshape the scene in such a way to really get your needs met. And again, this can be a confrontation protection scene, or a soothing attunement and support scene. Really take this in. See how you're getting your needs met. And also see how this is a tremendous joy, a tremendous pleasure for these perfect nurturers to do this for you. That's right. Keep going. Continuing to shape the scene in such a way to get your needs met, whatever that is. And also, the perfect nurturers are entirely on your side. They have no loyalty to anyone else, just you. Also, you might want to dialogue. They might have some encouraging words for you. You might need to say something to them. And all along, they know that you're going to work through this beautifully, although they acknowledge how difficult this has been. That's right, keep going. Shaping and reshaping the scene. Keep going. Also, the perfect nurturers know that none of this was your fault. You're not to be blamed. Keep going. And also notice how they track your mental states in a really supportive and non-invasive way. They're like, oh yeah, you had this experience. This was really difficult. It's going to be just fine. We're with you now. All this is over. but we see how much it hurt. We also see the effects it's had on your life. Keep going. Now also notice how the way that they are treating you, the way that you're being supported by the perfect nurturers, actually disconfirms this old belief of yours. Notice that now. Really take that in. Just keep developing this scene. Spend a little bit more time in this scene where we're getting our needs met by the perfect nurturer. And also notice the complete reliability of the perfect nurturers. They'd never turn on you. They're always interested. They're always present. There's always an interest, a curiosity about you. And now also see how you're such a joy for them. And also tending to you in this way is a total joy for them. Keep developing the scene. That's right. Okay, good. Now, let's actually go back to the original scene. But now, before the scene ever happened, now we're going to redo the scene with the perfect nurturers, and there's now going to be a perfect outcome that comes, that results, instead of this old kind of crappy conditioning, a new outcome to the scene will happen. And go ahead and rehearse that with the perfect nurturers. And here, use your imagination. It can be anything. That's right, keep developing that scene. Okay, this next step aids with memory reconsolidation. So bring up the old scene. I'm sorry, bring up the old belief. And now also at the same time, bring up this new positive learning. And try to hold these in mind at the same time. This is impossible. But by trying to do so, it helps with memory reconsolidation. You can also kind of switch between the two beliefs, the positive and the negative. And now just reinforce the positive. That's right. Really feeling into that. Feel that in the body. And now you and the perfect nurturers kind of start floating back to the present, kind of away from this old scene. And now there's all these perspectives. There's all these kind of lessons that you've learned. The mind is very, very broad. And now you might want to discuss this old situation that you were in, these old learnings, and even your symptoms and your modes with your perfect nurturers from this place of the mind being very, very expanded. So go ahead and do that now. Okay, and now we're going to review your whole life, from the past, except for now. Every single time anything bad happened, the perfect nurturers were there, making it right. And now notice how everything from your whole past life seems so different now. So go ahead and start doing that. You see now they were always with you. Keep developing the scene. Good. And now see your adult life going forward. And the perfect nurturers are with you, and you've learned all these positive lessons. You've had all these emotionally corrective experiences now. So now see your whole life unfold, with greater ease. And we'll look at both exploration and attachment, connecting with others. Let's start with connecting with others. See how connecting with others will be drastically easier, much more fluent, given that you've had these corrective experiences and given that the perfect nurturers will always be with you. That's right. Keep going. See how you'll attune to others and others will attune to you. And feel into how pleasant that is. How kind of nutritious that is. It just nurtures you. See how others will delight in you and you will delight in others. How wonderful. Also notice how you elicit the desired responses from others. Good. And now notice how it's going to be so much easier to do your explorations, to do the things that you find important in life. So now just for a minute, plan out explorations of yours that you really value, that you want to do. Now notice how the planning is so much easier. You have so much greater clarity of mind to do the planning. Go ahead and do that now, and thereafter we'll do an execution scene. I really feel good about your plan. This is excellent. And now, see yourself executing your plan and see it going really well. Of course, the perfect nurturers will be there accompanying you all the way. This is really going to go well. You have so many resources and so much support. Really feel into that. That's right. Keep going. Good. And now, look back at all of this. What was this like? What did you learn? Make a deep impression of all of this. and also notice how every single one of your learnings also points to how you have agency, how you have control. See how you've really gone about a healing in this meditation itself, and that how you'll be able to continue in this same way. And now feel into that sense of strength and agency and even healthy pride. Good. Now count from 5 to 1, and when we get to 1, you'll be awake and present in the room, settled in the experience. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Awake and present in the room, settled in the experience.